today you're listening to Black Mass, the Frequency of Resistance. I'm your host, Patrick McGuire, from CKW 95.9 FM Campus and Community Radio in Winnipeg. This special feature of the Black Mask is made for the first National Homelessness Marathon, brought to you by our sister station, CKUT in Montreal.
And we're on the verge of a major housing crisis in Winnipeg.
That was Harold Dick of the Low Income Intermediary Project, a Winnipeg-based advocacy group. Stay tuned for an interview on homelessness in Winnipeg.
Just give me a black mask. Just give me.
Despite being swept under the rug and ignored by the media and politicians, housing issues are becoming increasingly important in Winnipeg. An absolute homelessness that is living on the streets is simply not an option now that temperatures have dropped to minus 25 degrees and below and are coupled with a brutal wind chill factor. 2 years ago, the Social Planning Council of Winnipeg defined as homeless any person who does not have access to safe, healthy, and affordable housing. And sadly, that's the harsh reality that far too many Winnipeggers face. So thank you very much for tuning in today. I'm speaking with Harold Dick, who is a local advocate here in Winnipeg for people on low income or living in poverty. He's from the group, the Low Income Intermediary Project. Thanks for joining me, Harold.
Thank you.
All right. Well, the focus of our brief talk today is about homelessness in Winnipeg. And I think that oftentimes when people think about homelessness and our home city, they think, oh, well, it doesn't even exist. You know, you don't see, you know, very many people living on the streets or living in cardboard boxes. And they think, well, you know, homelessness isn't a problem here. How would you respond to those people?
This reflects part of the problem we're facing in society, that poverty essentially has been rendered invisible. People do not see homelessness because they don't take the trouble to look. And myself, I give the broadest possible definition to homelessness. It will include a number of people that literally are living on the street, under bridges, have no place to go, in a cardboard box, whatever. I would also extend that to cover people who, at best, can only rely, when weather is really bad, at temporary shelters, places like Main Street Project in Winnipeg. It's an emergency shelter for homeless people in Winnipeg that consists of little more than, on a day-to-day basis, having a mat thrown on the floor and a blanket and a place to sleep overnight in a crowded room with other people. The Salvation Army, or other types of temporary shelter. I would extend it to go so far as even people that have no other place to live in. They may receive some temporary support and help from social assistants staying in Skid Row hotels. They do not really have a home. If you look at that in that broadest sense, there are thousands of people in Winnipeg that would fall in the category of homeless. They do not have a place that they can call a home.
Right. Well, and there has been in the last two or three years, I believe, the creation of the Winnipeg Housing and Homelessness Initiative, which has been trumpeted as a partnership between all three levels of government in order to try to find a solution to homelessness and underhousing in Winnipeg. What do you think the successes or the failures of that program have been so far?
For the amount of monies that they were pumping into that project, I personally view it as a failure. It succeeded in a very limited way in accomplishing certain goals, but it tended to push far too much focus on the idea of creating home ownership options for single standalone housing, a single family home, and doing that in neighborhoods that currently are fairly depressed, but creating the idea, what I consider a very ineffective way when it comes to overall costs and how much you get for your buck, of meeting a very broad social problem, because there are thousands of people that would go beyond homelessness. They do have a home, but their housing would be inadequate. It's run down, it's dirty, it's cold, it's drafty, that kind of thing. The provincial government has liked to boast that it created over the past 3 years, our NDP government here, 1,000 new housing units. What they tend to ignore is that in creating these 1,000 housing units, most of which were private home ownership options, which is often beyond the means of most people in poverty, they have not built a single new co-op housing option, apartment block, low rental or subsidized income housing that would be far more cost effective. They often have wound up taking some housing options out of the market, such as rooming houses, converting them into single family homes, by doing nothing about the tenants that then have no place else to go. The housing market for people living in poverty in Winnipeg in terms of what is available out there. They have a vacancy rate of less than half of 1% now. And that's for housing within the range of people living in poverty, which makes it practically non-existent. And we're on the verge of a major housing crisis in Winnipeg because of that.
Well, I think that's an interesting point, because most people think, well, Winnipeg, extremely low, you know, property costs, you know, lots and lots of buildings not being used. I think that's the image that there is. You're saying that that's not the reality.
There's lots of buildings that are not being used or not being converted, again, because the government has this narrow, seems to have fixation on a very narrow focus, that the only option really worth considering is creating single family housing units, with the option that it'll be owned by the people. There's not been a new apartment building built in Winnipeg for over 15 years. It also happens to match the fact that there's not been a new subsidized housing unit built in Winnipeg for 15 years. Right now, I saw a recent report from the provincial auditor, the current vacancy rate in Manitoba housing, where we do have subsidized housing, is sitting, I estimate, about 4%. Which is very high compared to the general market. They're very slow in turning over, so a lot of people are denied ongoing housing because the government is failing to turn these units over. They've also pulled in the past year, I've been reliably informed, at least 100 subsidized housing apartment units from the market because of budget freezes and budget cuts. So on the one hand, they boast about this 1,000 new units they created mostly in the home ownership option, but they kind of sweep under the carpet that hundreds of public units have been taken away or not being returned to the market as quickly as they should, let alone the fact that because of extremely low welfare rates provided to people on social assistance, that there is a rapid decline in the private sector housing available for people living in poverty. Yeah, costs for rent are lower in Winnipeg, but the rent rates that are provided for people on social assistance are so low. They were cut by about 25% in the mid-90s and have remained frozen ever since, and every passing year rental rates go up. It's created a situation for most people on social assistance now that they have to borrow growing amounts of money from their food budget, and this would be the disabled, single parents. People that have been long-term unemployed have a great deal of difficulty finding work. They have to take money from an already stretched and limited food budget to pay increased rent costs. The government absolutely refuses to budge on housing costs, the amount it provides to people in poverty and the supports that are provided. And that's why I say I think we're on the verge of a major crisis in Winnipeg. The market is so tight now that it's getting to the point where people simply have nowhere else to go except the street.
What would you suggest as a way of alleviating this problem in the short term, but as well as in the long term?
Create more community-driven options in the forms of cooperative housing, providing community-based groups, action groups, anti-poverty groups, citizens living within particular neighborhoods, certain options such as co-ops, which I think is a very valid option, where they can buy existing buildings. Rooming houses that are being run down, apartment blocks, and so on.
Right.
And with all these millions and millions of dollars they're putting into it, use this as a more effective means of trying to maximize the help for the maximum number of people. There are so many abandoned buildings in Winnipeg's inner city now. There's so many apartment blocks that are being run down by slum landlords who just care about nothing more than getting a quick buck, regardless of the living conditions for their tenants. You know, provide people the resources that they can take control of their own lives, take control of these buildings themselves. And I would go so far as to say that the government has to take control of housing that slum landlords are running down to the detriment of the health and safety of people. But there seems to be a lack of care on the part of the government simply because those people are poor and therefore their voice doesn't really count.
Yeah. And ultimately, as you're kind of alluding to, I mean, the solutions will come when people finally take control of housing and actually are able to, you know, run it themselves in ways that they actually determine are appropriate for themselves.
It has to be democratic. It has to be something rather than bureaucrats handing out largesse to organizations or groups that seem to make a pretty good living out of administering poverty and putting it directly into the hands of the people that need it. And I think that was one of the problems, too. There was far too much money has been wasted on administration and developing programs that could have gone into direct purchase and renewal and upgrading of the existing housing stock.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm speaking with Harold Dick. He's a Winnipeg advocate for people on low income and poverty through an organization called the Low Income Intermediary Project. Harold, do you have any closing comments before we finish for today?
Only that this is a problem that has very broad social implications. I have a quote on my office wall that simply states that injustice in our society will only be ended when those people who are not affected by it are as outraged as those who are. If we're going to make changes in these types of situations, housing, poverty, hunger, lack of education, illness, all these things, more people have to become socially involved in fighting poverty, working with and assisting people in poverty to get themselves organized and to demand their rights.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Harold.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, thanks.
In the past number of years, homelessness activists and anti-poverty activists have begun speaking about homelessness in Canada as a national disaster, and it's important that we carry forward that language and that message. Housing is a fundamental human right and not an option, and that should be provided as a basic for any member of our society. And if the current system can't provide those basics for every single member of our society, then something is fundamentally wrong with it, and it needs to be changed. You've been listening to Black Mask, the Frequency of Resistance, on CKW 95.9 FM, Campus Community Radio in Winnipeg. I've been your host, Patrick McGuire. This special feature of the Black Mask has been prepared for the first national homelessness marathon brought to you by our sister station, CKUT, in Montreal. Thank you for tuning in, and take care.